In Halifax, I'm James Edgar for Accessible Media. Environmental racism isn't a term many are too familiar with, but it is something that has been experienced by African Nova Scotians and Mi'kmaq communities in the province for decades. On Saturday, January 11th, a workshop is being held in Halifax by the Enrich Project. Called In Whose Backyard, it explores the issue and ways forward to tackle and ultimately end this problem. Dr. Ingrid Waldron is a sociologist and an assistant professor in the School of Nursing at Dalhousie University and lead researcher on the Enrich Project. Ingrid, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, what is the Enrich Project?
The Enrich Project stands for Environmental Noxiousness and Racial Inequities and Health. So Enrich is the acronym for that. And the project started in the spring of 2012. Where we were trying to converge a team of academics, policymakers, health professionals, and environmental professionals to look at some of the health effects and socioeconomic outcomes associated with toxic industries and waste dumps in specific regions in Nova Scotia.
Now, the term environmental racism might seem a bit confusing to somebody who's never encountered it before. What is environmental racism?
I guess for some people it's a contentious term, but environmental racism is when the government is involved in situating or siting toxic industries or landfills in low-income and visible minority communities, particularly without their consultation. So the areas that I'm looking at in Nova Scotia, many of them have been struggling with this type of injustice for decades and have never been consulted by government. They are concerned about the lack of transparency, about how water and soil is monitored because they have issues around toxic soil and water contamination. So when we talk about environmental racism, the racial component has to do with the fact that the communities that tend to be situated near to these sites tend to be communities that lack power in our society, and communities that tend to lack power the most in our society and in Nova Scotia tend to be visible minority communities, particularly Aboriginal or Mi'kmaq communities and Indigenous Black Nova Scotians. And also these communities often tend to be low income. That's not to say that white communities are not affected by environmental justices. So what we found, particularly in Sackville, is that low-income white communities are also situated near to these landfills and waste dumps. So there's a kind of socioeconomic and social class and racial undertone to where some of these sites are situated.
One of these sites would be Lincolnville. James Desmond has been active for years in bringing attention to not one but two dumps in the area. What effects have these dumps had on the community?
James Desmond is somebody that I met with when I traveled to Sunnyvale to hold a workshop in Sunnyvale. And he is, yes, a longtime activist, has been dealing with the issue since the 70s. So he certainly is the leader, I guess, in the fight in Lincolnville. What he discussed and what other participants at that meeting in September discussed with me is what they feel is the association between specific illnesses, health risks, and proximity to landfills and dumps in or near to their community. They had the most concern about cancer, particularly rare cancers. And surprisingly, they also mentioned that autopsies found cancer in dogs. Cancer was the top issue, and they associate that with contaminated water, toxic soil, toxins getting into their food and the vegetables, but they also had other issues with respect to socioeconomic outcomes, which is something I'm looking at as well. They discussed how the landfill has impacted the socioeconomic base of their community. In other words, people are hesitant to invest in businesses. They talked about depreciating land value, people not wanting to even come to Lincolnville to live because of the landfill. They talked about the out-migration of people, the community, particularly young people, And of course, the aging population. So when young people are out migrating, then the people who are staying are people who are older, and the population becomes older. And that obviously affects the economic base of that community.
I'm talking with Dr. Ingrid Waldron, lead researcher on the Enrich Project, about In Whose Backyard, a workshop being held Saturday, January 11th in Halifax on the matter of environmental racism. Now, Lincolnville has two dumps, but the Yarmouth Reserve of Acadia First Nation was built directly on top of a dump.
Yeah, I mean, I had the opportunity when I went to Yarmouth for the first time on October 19th, I actually visited the junkyard, and I was really surprised that, you know, we were walking through a kind of stony, muddy trek alongside the junkyard, and what you're seeing is abandoned car parts, right, just thrown over the edge, and those car parts and that particular junkyard has been there for over 60 years, and the community is living over that junkyard. Now, it's just an eyesore, I guess, in general, but although we have yet to do studies on the association between health and the proximity to this junkyard, the residents do believe that that junkyard and other issues in their community, like moldy homes and arsenic in the water, definitely has an impact on their health. And they had concerns as well, similar to Lincolnville, around cancer, but also asthma. The research isn't there yet, and the reason why we're doing this project is to determine whether or not there's an association between illness and junkyards and toxic landfills and waste dumps and other environmental hazards.
Lincolnville and Yarmouth Reserve of Acadia are two examples, but what are some other examples in Nova Scotia?
We also traveled to North Preston on October 5th and Member 2 in Cape Breton on November 23rd. The residents in North Preston had two main concerns. One was the installation of wind turbines near to their community. There is a new wind turbine installation project that's going to be implemented in the next few years, and they had concerns about the fact that they had not been consulted. There isn't a lot of research on the health effects of wind turbines, but the studies that I did look at indicate that there are a few health and mental health issues, including irritability, sleep problems, anxiety, etc. Obviously, more research would need to be done to determine the impact on health. The community also has concerns about a waste dump down the street from their main community center. So like the other residents, they would like, I guess, a little bit more transparency, and they would like to know who is monitoring the waste dump in their area. The residents in Member 2 had concerns around power lines running through their community. They also talked about arsenic in the water. They talked about contaminated soil, contaminated water, similar issues. But they also talked about the need for the community to be more educated on waste management and also to have more transparency by the government around waste management. So they did feel some kind of accountability that they also needed to be educated about the issues, but they also pointed their fingers a bit at the government and policymakers who were not transparent around some of the issues. And they talked about the need for a more holistic approach to the topic of environmental racism, so not just looking at physical health, but also looking at spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical health, and how toxic industries and how environmental injustices impact those forms of health, not just physical health.
Now, you mentioned transparency. Is that just part of the way to end this cycle? How do we turn environmental injustice into environmental justice for all these people?
I think there are a lot of parts to this, and it's not an easy issue, but I think for me, and what I want to do after the workshop is not only do research, because research is really important. However, there are things that my team could do that doesn't require research, which is what I want to engage in after the workshops. And some of these follow-up activities, I see most important follow-up activity is to create, which is what residents mentioned to me, create a sense of unity between the residents and all of these communities. They are not unified. Some of them were surprised to find out that other communities like Lincolnville were dealing with the same issues. So what they communicated to me is this desire to get together with other leaders and other communities that I had visited to kind of hatch out a plan. So I think that's the first step, getting these people together in a room in their communities to determine what needs to be done and hatch out an action plan. I think after that, and after I finish my workshop report, is to present the workshop report to key individuals in the government and key activists and agencies, and also then arrange to meet with them. So it would be my team as well as community residents and leaders in the regions that I visited to get that transparency, to allow the community to express their concerns and also for them to get answers. The last issue, and what's also important in terms of trying to end environmental justice, is also to create awareness in the community. And what I've been wanting to do and what I have been doing is to engage media, different forms of media, social media, Facebook, Twitter, and of course traditional media, radio and television. So a lot of the residents mentioned that we want people to know about this. We want the public to get behind us. We want the white community to see this as important, to understand that visible minority communities are dealing with these issues at a higher rate than other communities. So I think engaging media as well as environmental professionals, health professionals, academics is also key. So I want to keep the issue at the forefront of the minds of policymakers, and I think the best way to do that is through traditional and social media. And that's starting, of course, with the Halifax workshop on Saturday, and I hope to continue with that as the project proceeds.
In Whose Backyard is a free workshop organized by the Enrich Project. It's an event bringing together Nova Scotia's Mi'kmaq and African Nova Scotian communities to share stories and experiences of struggles for environmental justice. It's at 2901 Windsor Street in Halifax on Saturday, January 11th from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. But please RSVP at enrichproject.org or by phone at 902-494-4267. Dr. Ingrid Waldron, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
In Halifax, I'm James Edgar for Accessible Media.